Let's see if we can do some preaching today. Can you handle some preaching today? Folks, I feel good today. Can you blame me? I mean, I am on cloud nine. I am excited. I'm ready to preach. I am pumped. In fact, I feel a little bit maybe like the Apostle Paul felt when he went to Troas. Paul was so full of emotion that day and so excited to preach. And it was just like Paul in Acts chapter 20. Do you remember that story when Paul is in Acts chapter 20? Do you remember what he did? He was so excited. What did he do? He preached till midnight. That's right. And I'm so full of emotion today. I'm so pumped. I think I can pull this off. No amens to start the sermon today. My mom is here. I thought I'd at least get an amen from my mom. Man. In fact, friends, the only thing that stopped Paul from preaching that day was poor Eutychus fell out the window about midnight. That's why he stopped. But you're okay. You're safe. I've checked. And these windows, if you guys fall out of them, you'll just scrape your knee. You'll be fine. So there's nothing preventing us from going all the way to midnight. In fact, Paul didn't just speak till midnight after he took care of Eutychus and brought him back up. He preached all the way till morning. We can do this. There's nothing stopping us. Everybody's safe. Nobody's... We do have a balcony up there, though. Well, folks, you'd better just strap in and stay safe, because I don't know how long the Lord's going to take me today. Well, folks, I want to tell you a few stories today, if we could, for this message. And the first story takes place right here in Lincoln. It takes place right across the street at Bryan Hospital. This was back in 2002, and I was right here at Piedmont Park. That's what it used to look like. You remember that a few years ago? And I was here, and I was the youth pastor of the church. And that's what Jeanette and I looked like back then. And the conference decided in that summer that it was time to move us down to Kansas City. So I remember our last Sabbath here. I preached my last sermon. We had a fellowship meal downstairs. And then we said our goodbyes to everyone. And we walked out the door, and we walked across the street to park to our car that was parked over there at Bryan Hospital. And we got to our car, and then I heard faintly, "Wait! Michael, Jeanette, wait!" And Jeanette looked around and she goes, "Someone's yelling at us." And I looked back at the church, and sure enough, I saw someone, and she goes, "Who's that?" And I looked and I said, "It's Grandma Darlene. Darlene Myers." And Jeanette said, "What is she doing?" And there was Darlene Myers in her Sabbath dress and shoes, running out of the church and across the parking lot carrying a bottle of water. I said to Jeanette, "I think the stress of us leaving has finally got to her. I don't know what's going on." And she ran up to Jeanette. She gave her a bottle of water. And she smiled and she said, "You better take this with you." And she'd written on the bottle of water, "Piedmont Water." Because the long-running joke back in those days, and maybe even today, was that if you are at Piedmont long enough, and you're a young couple, and you drink the water long enough, babies come along. And Darlene knew, and she remembered, that we were trying to have a baby. So she made sure that we left with Piedmont Water. What a lady, amen. So armed with our Piedmont baby water, we moved and we traveled down to Kansas City. But Piedmont Water must not work as well when you move away. Because weeks turned into months, which turned into years, and no baby came. We, like many other couples these days, had miscarriages that came along and broke our heart. But we never gave up hope. We kept praying, praying for a miracle. And time went on. and we continued to minister. But then the next story I want to share with you this morning is I can remember being down in Kansas City at the church there at the New Haven Church, and I was in my office, and it was a Wednesday. I remember it was a Wednesday because Pathfinders was that night, and I was the fill-in interim Pathfinder leader, and I'm trying to figure out what are we going to talk about tonight? What are we going to do? But that day, I was on cloud nine. I was excited. I was serving God in ministry, and everything was right in the world. I was so excited. You know why I was excited? I was excited because my wife was getting fat. That's true. Now, you don't get to preach that too often and still be alive to eat Sabbath dinner. So pray for me. But our miracle had finally happened in the winter of 2003, and we discovered that Jeanette was pregnant. And we made it past that three-month tricky part, and everything was good. And she was getting quite a tummy. Here she is with her sister comparing stomachs. As I said, I was the fill-in Pathfinder leader, so I'm trying to figure out what to do that night, Wednesday night. And the phone rang. And I saw it was Jeanette, so I picked it up. And you know what? Everything can change with a phone call. I answered the phone, and it was Jeanette, and she said, "Honey, I got a call from the doctor." I said, "Okay." And then she said, "Remember we had those tests done to make sure everything was okay and the baby was healthy?" I said, "Yeah." And at this point, I could barely even get the word out. She said, "Well, one of those tests came back with a problem." I said, "What does that mean?" And Jeanette's a nurse, many of you know, and she understands this stuff a lot better than I. And she said, "Michael, there's a chance there could be something wrong with our baby." And my world came crashing down like a drunk on a barroom floor. And then Jeanette tried to explain to me that this was only a small chance, and she spoke about things like false positives and tests, but all I heard that day was, "There could be something wrong with my baby." So I got on my knees and I prayed, and you do that a lot as a pastor. Sometimes so much that you can forget what it really means, but that day when I was on my knees praying, I prayed with everything I had. Everything. Praying for help and a miracle. Somehow, I don't know how, but I made it through Pathfinders that night. And we kept on doing ministry, kept praying, kept trusting. Month by month went by. And then one Friday morning, Jeanette got up for work way earlier than she normally does. She came back into our room and she woke me up, and I looked at the clock and it said 6 a.m. And we don't get up at 6 a.m. for work. And I looked at her, I said, "What are you doing?" And she smiled real big and she said, "Are you ready to have a baby?" I rolled over and said, "Nah, it's too early. Come back to bed." Before long, we were in the car and we were headed to Shawnee Mission Medical Center. And they got us a room and they got us in there, and we were getting ready for the biggest thrill of our lives up to that point. And we went through all of that, and then finally came time, the doctors and nurses came in and they said, "It's time to push." And I really should have had the camera taking pictures there for future sermons like this, so I apologize. I just didn't think that I should have been thinking ahead. I didn't take any pictures, but if we were there and the pushing was happening and I watched, and there was my wife's face, her beautiful face. I'd seen it for years. I looked at it and I saw her face and it just turned bright, bright red. And then the doctor said, "Okay, you can stop pushing," and the red would just drain away. And time to push again, and then boom, poof, crazy red again. And I thought, "Whoa, I've never seen a face do this before. This is kind of funny. I wonder if Jeanette will think it's as funny as I do." Then I thought, maybe I'll ask her later. I better start paying attention again. And then at 3:30 p.m., after one final red-faced push, the doctor said, "This is it." And he said, "Michael, Jeanette, it's a boy." Now, my plan for the past months was to immediately ask the doctor, "Is the baby okay?" And I tried to ask, and my knees were shaking. And for one of the first times in my life, nothing came out. I know, it's shocking. I just had a lump in my throat. So finally, Jeanette said the words that I couldn't. "Is he okay?" And the doctor looked at us, and he smiled. And he said, "Guys, he's just fine. There's nothing wrong. He's perfect." So that day we hugged and we thanked God for our healthy baby boy. And the doctor was right. Ethan was perfectly healthy. It was a false positive. And he's still healthy today. It's been a thrill to watch him grow up and to see him become the young man that he is today. And it has been an absolute thrill as a father to see who he's become. But the doctor that day was also wrong. You see, he said that there was no birth defect, and that's wrong. You see, medically speaking, he was 100% correct. There was no birth defect at all. He's just a normal, fun-loving kid. But theologically speaking, Ethan does have a birth defect. It's the same one I have. It's the same one his mom has. It's the same one we all have. Because Ethan was born with the human birth defect of sin. Because that's all that we could give to him. The Bible speaks about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." The Bible says that we all have this birth defect of sin. We are all born in need of a Savior. But I praise the Lord that God had a plan for sin. And when did he come up with this plan? The Bible tells us in Ephesians that just as God, as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundations of the world, God had this plan to deal with sin before he ever started creating. He knew what to do. And God's answer for sin was to defeat death by death and to pay the price for sin. The Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Ethan, my boy, you were bought at an extreme price by Jesus. Because God could not imagine an eternity without Ethan. Because God could not imagine an eternity without any of you. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed." This is why I may actually be more excited today than I was on September 12th, 2003. For today, my son is born again. And Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And if you got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. We're going to look at a couple of these verses here, and I want you to see them in front of you. Or if your Bible doesn't open up, but it turns on, turn it on. Click it on. Or if you don't have a phone with a Bible or a Bible nearby you, scoot next to someone who's got a Bible. Look over their shoulder. Make a friend. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Paul writing, and he says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" See, when we choose baptism, we're choosing to be connected to Christ's death. This is why Ethan went under the water today, to symbolize death to that old way of life. Because baptism symbolizes something. It symbolizes a funeral. It's like a funeral, only it's the strangest funeral you've ever gone to because people are cheering at it. And most times we don't cheer at funerals. But at baptism we do. Because baptism doesn't end with a funeral. It doesn't end with just going down into the water. But praise God, when we go down in the water, we come back up. We rise up back out of the water. That's what the Bible speaks about in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Because the story of Jesus doesn't end on a dark Friday afternoon at Calvary. The story continues to a Sunday morning, to an earthquake, to an angel descending, and to a rolled away stone. And the story continues with Jesus walking out of his own tomb. And Paul says, because of Jesus' victory at his resurrection, we not only connect with Christ's death at baptism, but we connect with his resurrection and with a new life. Verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man," or our old woman, our old person, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." When we're baptized, we are able to rise with Christ to a new life. Ethan, Paul says that you're free. Free to rise above sin. It no longer has to be your master. For now you can serve a different master. The one who loved you enough to die for you. Jesus offers this to any and every sinner who recognizes that they have a birth defect of sin. And Jesus offers baptism to all. A death to the past and a rising to a new life in Christ. Friends, of all my great moments in ministry and in my life, today is definitely one of the greatest. And I think back to what it must have been like when Jesus was baptized. The Father had sent the Son on a rescue mission to save humanity, and I'm sure the Father ached at the thought of being separated from his boy. And at Jesus' baptism, the Father actually speaks from heaven. It's one of the few times recorded in the Gospels that the Father actually speaks. But it's such an important occasion that from heaven, the Father's voice is heard, and he says, "This is my Son." And today, Ethan, I believe the Father looks down at you, and he again says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, the final story to tell you this morning is one of my most precious moments as a father. It happened when Ethan was almost 2 years old. Our niece Tanya, who's here today, was getting married. And Jeanette had to leave early to help for the wedding. And I didn't have enough time off from work, so she and Ethan left, and I stayed behind in Kansas City to work. And they drove off to Iowa. And back in those days, Jeanette and Ethan used to always travel with me whenever I had speaking assignments or anything, so I'd never been apart from Ethan for this long before. But for several days, they were there, and I had to finish work, and finally, after days, I left, drove up to Iowa. And I walked into Grandma Jan's house. And Jeanette said, "Ethan, Daddy's here." And he came toddling around the corner, and he saw me, and he ran. He ran as fast as his little legs could take him, across the house, arms raised up, and he jumped into my arms. And I hugged him. Now, we had hugged a lot in his brief 2 years, but this was different. Because this day, he just laid his head on my shoulder and didn't move and wouldn't be moved. And he just clung to me. He stayed there. I felt so much love that day. That's one of the sweetest memories I have with Ethan, although I really doubt he remembers it. So if you will indulge me for just a moment. Ethan, you're not bigger than me yet, so there's one thing about baptism. A pastor can lead a young person or any person to baptism. They can go through the teachings and teach them all the truths and teach them that Christ loves them, and they can make that decision to be baptized. That's what a pastor can do. But then, folks, it becomes not just the pastor's job, but it becomes the church's job to help that person know that they're loved. Because we need connection. More than just teaching. We need teaching, we need truth, but we also, everyone needs connection. Young people need that. They need to feel that. And not just young people, right? Older folks? Older folks need it too. Older folks can get lonely, and they need that connection as well. So Ethan, let's show them how. Will you stand up here for a second? Come on, bring it in. Amen. All right. I don't know what you're all looking at, though. You know what time it is. Stand up. There's somebody near you that needs connection, that needs a hug right now. So make it appropriate. But moms and dads, hug your kids. Kids, hug your parents. If you see someone who's alone who needs a hug, give them a hug. God bless you.
That was wonderful.
Amen. That needs a hug right now, so make it appropriate. But moms and dads, hug your kids. Kids, hug your parents. If you see someone who's alone who needs a hug, give them a hug. God bless you.
That was wonderful.
Amen. All right, now I'm going to have to stop what I started. Some of you are getting an over quota of hugs today. This is what we need. We need connection. And church family, I want to challenge you with my boy and with all young people. They need to know that they're loved. I remember walking into that church after I had studied for 2 years and I knew what the Bible taught, but I walked into that Seventh-day Adventist church for the first time wondering, what are they going to do with me? A rock and roll DJ. And they loved me right into the church and kept right on loving me. So I want to encourage you to keep loving each other. And as I think about that hug that little Ethan gave me and how that made me feel as a father, now I realize how God feels about us when we come home to Him. And at baptism, when we run up to Jesus and we grab hold of Him, God feels like I felt that day when I held Ethan and he wouldn't let me go. That's how Jesus feels. And God wants to never let you go. And because of Christ's victory at the cross and his victory at the tomb, he can make us victorious in our lives too. For in baptism, we too can rise up and live with Christ now and forever. Almighty Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you never gave up on us, that you had a plan to deal with our birth defect. And the plan cost you so much, Lord, but you were willing to do it because you could not imagine eternity without each of us as a part of it. So I pray, Lord, now for my son Ethan, for my family, for my friends. I pray for each and every person in this room that hears my voice right now. May we all realize that you want us to be there. And all we have to do is come to you with arms outstretched. And you're willing to welcome us home. And you're willing to help us stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.